terms the goaded cis white man.
That's right.
Along,
wait, 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 wait. Hold on. Hold on.
Alongside
hold on.
My two hold on, co-hosts. Hold on, hold
on. Okay. Jeff okay.
Trisco and Mike Valverde.
Okay. Now we're good. Now we're good.
A three-way tie. Oh no, it's a four-way tie. Also, my dad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde, recording a little bit late this week because if you listened last week, Mama and Papa Valverde were in town, and they're gone now. Mike's free. Mike can stay up as late as he wants.
That's right. I get the party.
That's right. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Haven't been seen at any Coldplay concerts, so everything's good.
Ah, Mike's been on the internet a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Walker, how you doing?
I'm great. I have also not been seen at any Coldplay concerts. checked safe from being caught cheating at a Coldplay concert with my HR director.
No, she's the chief people officer.
Oh, okay. With my chief people officer.
This is a safe space, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. First two Coldplay albums, good. I'll say it. This is a safe space.
I don't know if I've ever listened to a Coldplay album all the way through.
It's a certain vibe. You gotta be ready for it. Like, you know, rainy day, like sitting in the dark. It's a vibe. It's not a good vibe, but it's a vibe.
Okay, are we talking? That sounds almost like a Death Cab for Cutie adjacent.
First couple albums, vaguely Death Cab for Cutie adjacent. More piano.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, if you're...
I like some of the songs. Like, I just don't know any of the non-popular tracks.
Yeah, if you're talking a little Parachutes, a little Rush of Blood to the Head, you're cooking. X and Y, Viva La Vida, get out of here. Viva La Vida, get out of here.
Viva La Vida is a good song.
The album is garbage.
Probably true.
If you like Viva La Vida, you'd probably like the first two albums.
Okay. Yeah, I like that song, but yeah, I don't know literally any other song on that album. Couldn't tell you.
Oh, wow. Do you know a little Yellow?
Yeah, like Yellow. Gotta know Yellow. Got Clocks. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Scientist's pretty good.
Yeah, one. See? This is what I'm talking about.
Okay. Cold, yeah.
Coldplay, yeah. Colon, good.
Early Coldplay I can fuck with a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Do you fuck with The War? I've had that little Dickie line stuck in my head for like 2 days.
You fuck with The War?
Do you fuck with The War?
Do you?
Yeah. All righty. So we're going to talk the NFC East this week, National Football Conference East. Same format as before. We each have a team. I have the not the Giants. We're going to be in big trouble. I have the Eagles. Walker, you have the Commanders. Mike drew the short straw and has the Cowboys. We're going to divvy up the Giants. We're going to be talking, I'm talking the running backs. Mike, you're talking the wide receivers. Walker, are you talking tight end or quarterback? Quarterback, right?
Yeah, we skip tight end.
Yeah, we're punting tight end. Theo Johnson, you are deep third blob. Congratulations. All right. As always, we're going to start with me because I got a bunch written. Guess what? I didn't hit 3,000 words this time.
Oh, wow.
Eagles a lot more normal than the other teams that I've had to talk about. So not as much to talk about. So let's get into it. What can you say about the Philadelphia Eagles, huh? Their head coach is a big piece of shit. You can say that. Yeah. They're one of the most dominant offensive teams in the league. And nothing changed from last season. They're Super Bowl champs and are favorites in 15 of 17 games this season, with two road games at KC and at Buffalo, both at 1.5 dog lines, meaning that they are actually getting a bump because the home team generally starts at 3-point favorites. They're an elite offense with the best offensive line in the league, a top 5 running back, a top 5 wide receiver, a top 20 wide receiver, and a top 10 quarterback. They really don't have any significant weaknesses, and everyone of note is returning. Side note, Johnny Wilson can still go to hell. Mercifully, I've been left speechless by the Eagles. Also, Nick Sirianni deserves to be fired. Let's start with the offensive line. They have the best offensive line in the league, and I firmly believe that the fewer words you have to say about an offensive line, the better they are. My official submission is 0 words for the Eagles offensive line. Let's talk about the overall offense. The average final score of an Eagles game in 2024 was 27-19 as they went 14-3. Notably, they ran only 127 plays while trailing in the second half, the fewest in the league, and 19 plays behind the number 31 team. Their dominance is even more remarkable, as after their week 5 bye, they ran only 37 plays while trailing in the second half. From week 6 to week 18, they ran 37 plays when they were trailing in the second half. They only lost one game after October 1st, and it was a last-second win by the Washington Commanders. So, they benefited from being ahead and rushing the ball more often than most teams would, bumping up the statistics of Saquon Barkley specifically. That certainly explains the run-pass split last season, which saw them rush the ball at a league-leading 52% clip and passing just 48% of the time. And they slowed the game down by running the third most plays in the league, 4 off the league-leading Detroit Lions. Yeah, did you know, Walker, the Lions ran the most plays in the league last year?
It does not surprise me.
Yeah. That will not the Lions. That will certainly change in 2025, that being the Eagles. As I anticipate a natural drop in production and carries for Saquon Barkley in the run game. That will certainly change in 2025 as I anticipate a natural drop in production and carries for Saquon Barkley in the run game. The Eagles have the fourth hardest schedule per Sharp Football Analysis after coming into 2024 with the 10th easiest strength of schedule in last season. So, I projected the Eagles to pass more in 2025, with their 48% pass, 52% run split looking a lot closer to 52-48 the other direction. I anticipate them being a lot closer in games, but they don't stray far from their 50-50 DNA, as their first half passing came in at a 56% clip. So, they do pass in the first half, they get it big, and then they run the ball. And after all that, they're still the Eagles, so despite their strength of schedule, I do anticipate them being ahead more often than not in the second half of games. Just those games being a lot closer. I forgot I wrote this.
Oh boy.
While the perennial piss babies, the Green Bay Packers, tried to ban the tush push.
Woo! Let's go! Shit on them.
I forgot I wrote that. While the perennial piss babies, the Green Bay Packers, tried to ban the push-tush, it looked even dumber a proposal in 2025 than ever. The Eagles only ranked 10th in third down conversion rate, 4th in fourth down conversion rate, and they didn't even attempt the most fourth down conversions. That went to Washington, who attempted 20 to Philly's 19. So last season, they didn't even like lean on the tush-push as much as they used to. Right. So let's start with the quarterbacks. So QB1, Jalen Hurts. Do we know QB2?
No.
The guy from McKee, Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee. Do we know number QB3?
No.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Oh, that's okay. Right. They traded him.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kenny Pickett for DTR straight up trade last year.
Right.
QB4. Yeah. You throw this away. QB4, Kyle McCord. All right. Much like last week's episode, we'll focus on the QB1, as anyone else in this offense is instant disaster for every single person involved. Let's start with his passing. Jalen Hurts doesn't do it a lot, and that's not the Eagles' game. He played in 14 complete games last season, and he averaged only 25.5 pass attempts per game, or 434 pass attempts over a 17-game season. It wasn't much different during the playoffs, as he led the Eagles to the Super Bowl, throwing the ball 22.8 times per game in the postseason. This limitation obviously has downline effects. First, he didn't throw for 3 touchdowns in a single game in 2024, and he crossed 300 yards passing just once in Week 3 versus New Orleans. Both of these combined to limit the upside of folks in the passing game, but we'll get to them in a minute. Luckily for us, Hurts doesn't rely on his passing to get him fantasy points. He's the indisputed rushing quarterback king. Since becoming the starter in 2021, Jalen Hurts leads all quarterbacks in fantasy points per game from rushing at 9.51 fantasy points per game. This is a full 2.1 points per game ahead of Josh Allen, who's at third, and 1.3 ahead of Anthony Richardson, who's in second. In that time span, he ranks third in percentage of fantasy points from rushing, with 43.3% of his points coming from the ground. I already named Anthony Richardson, who gets 52.3% of his scoring on the ground. Can you name the quarterback who has the second most fantasy points scoring on the ground as a percentage of their total production since 2021.
Justin Fields.
Damn, Walker got it in one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Damn, Walker's got hands. All right.
That's right.
The biggest knock against Hurts' ability to quarterback a team, notably his questionable ability to pass the football, is also the reason why he's one of the most locked and loaded fantasy football contributors available. Since becoming the starter, he's QB2 in fantasy points per game at 1.46 points behind Josh Allen and 0.2 points per game ahead of Lamar Jackson. That's because Jalen Hurts is absolutely obsessed with rushing touchdowns. Since 2021, he leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns from quarterbacks with 52. Josh Allen, certified freight train, is second with 40. Justin Fields is third with 19. Mm. 19, and he's third. So that tells you how far and away he is from basically everybody else at rushing the football on the goal line. Despite all this, Jalen Hurts is outside my top three, sitting firmly at QB4 with a massive firewall between him and Joe Burrow at QB5. This is because I believe the Eagles will need to pass more in 2025, though not enough to cause a serious detriment to Hurts' fantasy success. It's just that a rushing yard is worth 2.5 as many points as a passing yard, and Hurts will have a lot more of the latter than the former compared to 2024. A rushing touchdown is also worth 1.5 times as many as a passing touchdown, but those aren't going away. Why? Jalen Hurts led the NFL in goal line carries last year with 16. Not quarterbacks. The entire National Football League. He did the same in 2023, and he was second in 2022. Can you guess who was first in goal line carries in 2022?
Derrick Henry.
Wrong.
Damn.
Mike, do you have a guess who was first in the NFL in goal line carries in 2022?
Josh Allen.
Nope. Walker, closer to your heart.
Closer to my heart, Jamal Williams.
Correct.
Boom, baby.
The goal line touchdowns are not going away because the goal line carries are not going away. And Jalen Hurts is a tier one fantasy quarterback because of them. That's right. I have four quarterbacks in my tier one. Walker, you said, shocker, I have Joe Burrow as my QB5 in tier three. I have Joe Burrow as my QB5 in tier two. That's right. Let's go. All right. Jalen Hurts is QB4, pick 39 off the board. At their price, Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, who is pick 24?
Jalen Hurts.
Hurts.
At their price, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen, who is pick 25?
Hurts.
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts at 39 or Jaden Daniels at 30?
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts at 39 or Joe Burrow at 43?
Hurts.
Burrow.
Oh, let's go, Mike. Jalen Hurts or Mike Evans?
Jalen Hurts.
Hurts, yeah.
Jalen Hurts or Kenneth Walker III?
Hurts.
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts or Georgie Porgy Kittle?
Hurts.
Hurts, yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts on Jalen Hurts?
He's a good football player. That's all I really would like to say.
Source?
Be like a weird argument about that. So, I mean, I don't think he's like one of the three best quarterbacks in the league or anything, but he's pretty damn good. So, and he's good for fantasy as well. He's very consistent.
Mike, last thoughts on Jalen Hurts?
He gets better every year. So, we'll see.
He does.
We'll see if he continues to grow or if he's hit his plateau from last year.
All right. All right. Let's talk about the other quarterbacks. Tanner Jeremy McKee was born on April. No, we're not going to do that. I was just kidding.
Thank God.
Also, Jeremy spelled J-E-R-E-M-I-E. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go away, Jeremy. All right. Running backs. We've got Saquon Barkley, RB1. A.J. Dillon, RB2. Will Shipley, RB3. Going into 2024, some people said that Saquon Barkley did not have RB1 overall upside. And those people were wrong and stupid and told me I was wrong and stupid when I said it on Elon Musk's X.com. Now available with Nazis and weird AI girlfriends. But I was right. He sat out week 18. What?
Nothing.
Go ahead.
I just said you were.
Oh, okay.
I was agreeing with you.
Okay. He sat out week 18, so Jahmyr Gibbs wins in overall fantasy points, but Barkley was the fantasy point per game king and the winner during the regular the fantasy season, so I count that. He almost held the rushing record. Ah! He almost held the rushing record. Calm down.
Calm down.
Jahmyr Gibbs already won.
Walker, I'm going to need you to chill. Everybody take a deep breath and then we'll continue. Okay, thank you. I lost my spot. Saquon Barkley almost held the rushing record, totaling 2,283 total yards and scored 15 touchdowns. He was a beast and a monster in every sense of the word, and he is no doubtedly going to return first round value in 2025, barring injury. Unfortunately, I want no part of him. He is my RB5 behind Bijan Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey, and Ashton Jeanty. Why? His touch volume will reduce, and reduce dramatically if history is any indication. A lot of people want to cite Saquon Barkley's 378 touches last season as a season-long total. That's not entirely true. It ignores his 104 touches in the playoffs, bringing Saquon Barkley up to 482 touches last season. Only six backs in the history of the NFL have 450 plus touches in multiple seasons. Those being Emmitt Smith, Eddie George, Ed Sheeran James, Curtis Martin, Terrell Davis, and Eric Dickerson. Only Emmitt Smith had three such seasons. Since 2001, zero backs have multiple 450 touch seasons. Outside of Barkley, we've only seen one 450 touch season in the last decade, which was 2014 DeMarco Murray, and just seven total since 9/11. Arian Foster's 2012, Larry Johnson's 2006, Curtis Martin's 2004, Amon Green's 2003, and LaDainian Tomlinson's 2002. In those following seasons, those players had, for Murray, 237 touches, for Foster, 143 touches, for Larry Johnson, 188 touches, for Curtis Martin, 244 touches, for Amon Green, 299 touches, and LaDainian Tomlinson is inhuman. He had 413 touches that following season. That comes out to an average of 254 touches in the season following their big touch year, or an average of a 54.4% of the touches in the previous season. So they go down by almost half. Well, I think that Saquon Barkley is going to be closer to the 300 touches that Amon Green had than the 143 of Arian Foster. This still does make me very itchy about drafting Saquon Barkley. Those guys that I listed are all studs, asterisk, except for DeMarco Murray. And a lot of them carried their team deep and paid the price dearly the following season. I fear that Saquon Barkley will suffer the same fate, so I'm ranking him at the back end of the hyper elite tier. I acknowledge the upside, and I acknowledge that I could be wrong. But I would rather have other players in that tier knowing that I have this in the back of my head. So I've priced Saquon where I will not get him at RB5. So how do we feel about Saquon?
I mean, if you strip it just right down to like who's gonna on paper have the biggest role, score the most points, yeah, it'd probably be Saquon. So I can understand. I can understand the argument for taking him RB1, but I agree that there is a lot of risk. He's a running back on his second contract. He is coming off an absurd touch load last season. I think if the Eagles were smart, they would, even if it maybe cost them a win at some point, they would kind of give A.J. Dillon more touches than he deserves for the first half of the season, just to save Saquon for when it really matters. But who knows what they'll do. I think that there are at least two guys who are clearly safer picks than Barkley.
Gibbs and Bijan?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mike, what do you think?
When you have that many touch total, I think there's only been like two running backs that have returned in the top 24 or something like that the following season.
Really?
Yeah, it's not very many. And so if you're looking at that, the odds, you're going to say stay away from him regardless of where he's available at. So I think RB5 is a good place to put him just because he's clearly going to be picked before then. So I agree with what you're doing there. I want to say he's a freak athlete and he's going to, you know, be another one of those guys that enter be one, you know, top 20, or just top five, but I just don't see it.
I struggle with it really, really bad. All right. The other running backs in this room. Oh, sorry. Saquon Barkley is RB2, pick 3 off the board. Saquon or Ja'Marr Chase?
Chase.
Ja'Marr.
Saquon or Bijan?
Bijan.
Bijan.
Saquon or Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson, barely.
All right, I'm going to skip this one because you guys made it clear with your answer, Gibbs over Saquon. Saquon or CeeDee Lamb?
Saquon.
Lamb.
Saquon or Puka Nacua?
Saquon.
Saquon.
Saquon or Ashton Jeanty?
Saquon.
Jeanty.
Saquon or CMC?
TMC.
CMC.
Saquon or Devon Achane?
Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon.
Yeah, I put that there because that's the firewall for me too. I have Achane at 6 and I just can't, I cannot put him Saquon behind him. So, all right. There's nobody else worth worrying about in this backfield. I have seen Will Shipley pop up lately as a good handcuff, but free agent acquisition AJ Dillon and Shipley make me nervous together. This is Saquon's backfield, and there is nobody else worth worrying about. So let's talk about the wide receivers, shall we? Before we talk about the wide receivers, I would like to note we had a loss in the family. I would like to acknowledge the career of Mike 1010 Williams, which is now over.
Goodbye, Mike Williams.
Walker wins the bet. Mike Williams will never get 1010 season. I don't even know if it was a bet. I think it was just an argument.
Yeah, I am correct.
In perpetuity, you will never be wrong about Mike Williams getting 1,010.
Mike Williams, and shout out to Mike Williams. I liked him. I developed a real fondness for the guy. So, yeah, shout out to Mike Williams. He of the 1,000-yard sub-50 catch season.
Woo! Always a fun season. What does it say that two of my my guys that I was like pounding the table for last year as sleepers are now retired in Mike Williams and Jordan Travis? Is that good?
Oh, no. No, no, probably not.
Is that good?
Man, I think you're going a little too deep.
I loved Jordan Travis. Okay.
Jordan Travis too, especially because you can get a running quarterback in the 5th round.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I loved him. What if they put Colin Kaepernick in Baker Mayfield's body? You get Travis.
That's right.
Let's put Colin Kaepernick in Baker Mayfield's body and then repeatedly like snap that body in half over their knee.
Yeah, exactly. What if you put Colin Kaepernick in Baker Mayfield's body and told him he was in Derrick Henry's body? Then you get Jordan Travis.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, wide receivers. We got AJ Brown. We got Devonta Smith. We've got Johnny Wilson can go to hell, end quote Wilson. We've got Jahan, first round pick Dotson. And we've got Terrace Marshall. That's right. This wide receiver room boasts 2 first round wide receivers, Devonta Smith and Jahan Dotson. In the same room together, we simply cannot allow this. We must break up the Eagles. This passing game revolves around AJ Brown, and we have to hope that he either doesn't get an If Books Could Kill subscription or continue slurping up self-help nonsense on the sidelines because it worked for him. AJ Brown was a first half of the game marvel. He was the locomotive that put their engine so far ahead that they could coast the rest of the way. In the first half of games last season, AJ Brown had 65 targets, 47 receptions, 684 yards, and 5 touchdowns. A full season of first half AJ Brown comes out to, because he missed some games, so that's not a quite doubling, comes out to 170 targets, 123 receptions, 1,789 and 13 touchdowns. This is comparable to 2025 Ja'Marr Chase with 3 fewer touchdowns and 81 more yards. In the second half, when they took their foot off the gas, however, AJ Brown had 31 targets, 20 receptions, 395 yards and 2 touchdowns. A full season of second half AJ Brown is still a useful receiver, as it's 81 targets, 52 receptions, 1,033 yards, and 5 touchdowns. That was roughly Jameson Williams 2025. So a good receiver, not Ja'Marr Chase. So if we truly believe that the Eagles are going to take a slight step back due to their strength of schedule, which forces them to throw more, then AJ Brown has wide receiver 1 overall upside, in my mind. I doubt he gets there, but he is my wide receiver 5, behind Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and Puka Nacua. Much like the offensive line, I don't have a lot to say about AJ Brown. He's one of the best receivers in the league. He is the focus of this passing game that will be forced to pass more, and I don't have much else to say about him. Do either of you have anything to add about AJ Brown?
Yep. I have a pizza bet.
Pizza bet?
Pizza bet. Amon-Ra St. Brown outscores AJ Brown.
Wow, who's that with?
You.
What?
You have AJ Brown ranked ahead of Amon-Ra.
Oh, I thought you said you already had that bet. I was like, when did we do this?
No, I'm doing it. I'm proposing this with you right now.
Walker, I accept. Consider me excitedly putting my hands over my face. I'm holding back tears. I'm saying I do. I accept. I accept your proposal, Walker.
Wow.
Wow. Pizza bet. I'm writing it down. So I can find this in 3 seasons. Pizza bet. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Are we doing are we doing full season or points per game?
We'll do points per game, and we'll say
10 game threshold.
I was going to say 12.
Okay, 12 game threshold.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. 12 game threshold. Fair. All right, perfect. Full PPR?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Okay, cool. Accepted. All right, AJ Brown or Puka Nacua?
I don't actually know.
AJ Brown.
Oh, wow.
Puka.
AJ Brown or Malik Nabers?
Nabers.
AJ.
AJ Brown or Walker's not allowed to answer. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Let's go. Mike, I love you.
It really do be your own, huh?
That's right.
All right. AJ Brown
Jeff
or Drake.
Off the podcast.
No.
Fired.
No. AJ Brown or Drake London. Who is Jake London?
Jake London. Jake from State Farm, London.
Jake from State Farm. It'd be Jake from they don't have states over there.
Jake from County Farm.
County Farm. County Farm. All right.
It's AJ Brown over Drake London.
Okay.
Yes,
Mike?
I agree.
Okay. AJ Brown or BTJ Killer?
BTJ.
Yeah, give me that killer.
All right. AJ Brown or Saquon?
Shit,
that's tough.
That's tough.
I'll go Saquon.
Give me AJ.
All right, AJ Brown or Derrick Henry?
AJ.
I'll go AJ as well there.
All right, AJ Brown or Brock Bowers?
How many of these does he have?
This is the last one.
AJ. I think I'll go. Well, let's see here. Yeah, I think I'll go AJ. Just barely.
All right. One. Mike?
AJ.
All right, let's talk the Slim Reaper, shall we? Devonta Smith has been remarkably consistent, and you know exactly what you're getting from him since AJ Brown came to town. In 2022, 8 targets, 5.5 receptions, 70 yards per game. 2023, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 66 yards per game. 2024, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 64 yards per game. So my fearless prediction based on all advanced stats is about 7 targets, about 5 catches, and about 67 yards per game. Smith can fall off the map every once in a while, as he had 1 catch for -2 yards against the Giants in Week 7 last year, but you can also turn around and have yourself a top 20 receiver when all is said and done. There's a weird intrigue with Devonta Smith. A lot of folks say, what if AJ Brown goes down? He has top 10 upside, right? Like, if AJ Brown goes down, this passing game is going to run through Devonta Smith. Here's the problem. AJ Brown missed 2 games last year. Devonta Smith averaged 10 targets, 7 catches, and 77 yards per game. A good uptick, no doubt. But not that far off of his average pace. A couple more catches, about 10 more yards. Not that big of a deal. We're not talking about a guy that's going to be top 5, top 10 without A.J. Brown. So those are the only two games that Smith has played without Brown since the two teamed up in 2022. So A.J. Brown is, I see him as the ideal wide receiver 3, alongside guys like Zay Flowers or Travis Hunter, who could boom or bust or just give you those steady points. Those are the three options that anybody could give you. But also, he's not in a position where his bad weeks will hurt you. I have him at wide receiver 28, but he is wide receiver 25, pick 54 overall in PPR draft. So any thoughts on Devonta Smith?
I think I would have him. I mean, I haven't redone my wide receivers yet, but I would have him top 24.
Okay.
Yeah, I like him in the top 24 range. One of the better wide receiver 2s in football.
Walker, I'm glad you said that you like Devonta Smith more than I do. Devonta Smith or Jameson Williams?
I don't know. Is the thing, because I haven't redone these. I'd probably go J-Mo just because I think the upside's higher, but and I think you could get J-Mo a little later. But that's okay, the Mike. Only differentiating factor.
And J-Mo wears Honolulu blue. Just let it be known. All right, Mike, J-Mo or Devonta Smith?
Wow, I just saw where Jameson Williams ended up last season. He finishes the wide receiver 13.
What?
Yeah.
Walker, can you confirm this?
What, did he? I don't know. I mean, he had a good season, but like he played 15 games. I mean, he was wide receiver 13 in points per game. I don't know.
Folks, it's called regression, and your Jameson Williams will be doing it. This is going to be my bit because I know it upsets Walker. I already found my new bit. It's July, and I found my 2025 season bit. This is perfect.
What are you?
Devonta Smith or Zay Flowers?
Devonta Smith.
Devonta Smith or Cortland Sutton? Devonta Smith or Sam Laporta?
Devonta.
Probably Smith, yeah.
Devonta Smith or Patrick Mahomes?
Eek.
Smith still.
Yeah, Smith.
All right, Devonta Smith or Chuba?
Devonta.
All right, this is where we get into the problem of this passing game. No other wide receiver will get enough fantasy points to matter. Sorry, Walker, I thought you answered.
I didn't, but I was going to go with Devonta Smith as well.
Devonta Smith, all right, perfect. So let's talk tight ends, shall we? Tight end 1 is Dallas Goedert. Tight end 2 is Grant Calcaterra. Tight end 3, Kylan Granson. Shout out the Colts. Tight end 4, Harrison Bryant. Tight end 5, 49ers legend Cameron Latu. The man of the hour here is Dallas Goedert. Goedert is annually a value for the exact same reason he's a value this year. If you squint and prorate his games, then Goedert is a must-start tight end whenever he plays. Unfortunately, Dallas Goedert is a dang anti-mummy. This guy does zero body preservation. Folks. Like mummies, they're preserved. Their bodies are preserved, folks. And he doesn't preserve his body.
He takes too many hits.
Wait for Walker to react.
Ooh.
And that's the noise that mummies make. All right. Since the league expanded to 17 games, Dallas Goedert has missed or left the game early 29.4% of the time.
Jesus
and that's
Christ.
That's the problem with him. He's always hurt. And he's in his 30s now, so he isn't likely to get less injury prone. That having been said, Dallas Goedert was a banger last season. He played over 20% of snaps in 8 games last year, and in those 8 games, he paced out to 96 targets, 81 receptions, 937 yards, and 4.25 touchdowns. That would have been 200.2 fantasy points over the course of the season, or tight end 5. Then he turned around and finished the playoffs with 20 targets, 17 catches, 250 yards, and a score, leading the Eagles in receiving. I see Dallas Goedert as a steal in the blob at tight end 15, pick 130, and he's a great tight end to pair with one of the rookies, as he is not currently injured and should start the season healthy, fingers crossed, while either Loveland or Warren get up to speed in their respective offenses. Dallas Goedert or Colson Loveland?
Goedert.
Goedert.
Dallas Goedert or... oh my God. Why did I forget Warren's first name?
Tyler.
Tyler Warren. Huh?
Tyler, thank you. My brain was just going, Jalen. I was like, that's not what I want. Dallas Goedert or Tyler Warren? Here we go, we did it.
Goedert.
Dallas Goedert or Schultz?
Goedert.
Yeah, Goedert.
Goedert or Eckler?
Goedert.
Yeah, I think so.
Goedert or Jaden Higgins?
Goedert, easy.
Yeah, Goedert.
This is where his ADP is. Goedert or JJ McCarthy?
Goedert.
Yeah,
I yield, Goedert. I yield my time. Shout out Grant Calcaterra. Shout out Ryan. Shout out kind of shitty mid-tier tight end of the week. All right. I'll see you both next week. Let me know who I'm doing.
Yeah, okay.
Who's going next? Should we get the... What?
Well,
Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm punchy.
Clearly. I'll go with the Commanders.
All right, Walker, the commie with the commies.
Sure, I don't. We'll go with that. That's fine. so we start off the Commanders' sworn enemy of Walker Kelly, as we know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even realize that.
Some unfortunate. Hey, I took him voluntarily. It's fine.
Yeah, you chose him. You got first pick, and you chose the commies. So
I did. Yeah. I don't really care that much, honestly. They're a team that beat us. It happens. What are you going to do? You know, nothing I can do personally. So it is what it is. You know, some unfortunate events happened, but we're going to put that behind us. We got an opportunity for some revenge this season. I think that it'll happen. So we start off with the quarterback, and really the star of the show here is Jaden Daniels. He's an unbelievable player. He is the main reason for their quick turnaround. He's the type of guy who, even if he has a bit of a, quote, sophomore slump, unquote, he can survive that for fantasy because of his rushing floor. I don't feel like there's a ton of downside here. Like, I only have him projected for 3,700 passing yards and 24 touchdowns. And I still have him as quarterback 3. That's how much he's going to run. I mean, it's consistent. It's a high yards per carry number. So he's very safe. You know, the only worry is getting hurt, but he showed last season that he can take a hit. You know, he might look skinny, but he doesn't seem to have a problem taking the hits. So I think he's very safe top 4 quarterback. All right, perfect. We've kind of gone through these guys, so I won't talk about the Jaden Daniels against Josh Allen, whatever. We've gone over that, so that's fine. Let's move on to the running backs. We have Brian Robinson Jr. He is kind of just your archetypical. Is that the word? Archetypal.
Archetypal? I don't know. The only person that I've heard say it with any frequency is Alex Jones, so I don't trust how he says it, so I can't tell you.
Well, how about that? Anyway, he's kind of just your stereotypical, like, old-style starting running back. Like, this is a Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis-style individual. He's there. He does everything at least average. You know, he shows up in pass pro. He can catch the ball out of the backfield pretty well. He's actually got some solid wiggle in the open field. he's big and strong. He's just not fast. That's the thing. He doesn't have the breakaway speed. He's kind of like Najee Harris minus, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, both have been hit with projectiles. Hey, look, one, they're both okay, all right? I can make jokes.
One self-inflicted and one by the devious Kev Masurgeon.
What did Kev know and when did he know it?
Yes. Speaking of people who would benefit from a Kev Masurgeon style situation, Austin Eckler, he's the 1B in this offense. Still a great pass catcher. Still very shifty, hard to bring down, really low center of gravity, strong guy. His game's never been built on speed, so he's aged a little more gracefully than some other small running backs. But he is still not the same guy he used to be and cannot handle anything close to a full workload anymore. But he's effective in a what if Theo Riddick could run the ball a little bit role. Washington's always got this guy. I don't know why, but Chris Thompson, JD McKissick, now Austin Eckler, they never don't have this guy.
They love having that guy, no matter who's the OC, whoever's who's the head coach.
They love to have a designated 1B pass catcher running back. Have you guys ever heard of this guy? Jerner Classic Movies?
Jerner Classic Movies. Would that be Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the man so good they banned him from playing football in college?
It's Jeff's favorite player.
That's
I only put him on here just so I could mention it and make the Jerner Classic Movies bit.
Walker is so far 2 for 2 in their rundown on potential episode titles. Jerner Classic Movies and the Devious Kev Masurgeon.
Then we've that's it. There's nothing else about Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. He got drafted in the seventh round. What do you want from me here? B-Rob and Eckler are both like, B-Rob's kind of like a seventh round pick ish. Eckler's like ninth. So real dead zone. If you like these guys, you can snag them for like the front end of your bench or as like a flex option. But I certainly wouldn't be excited about him. But Daniels is running affects both of these guys enough that neither of them are going to be like probably top 20.
With Brian Robinson, I struggled because he's going to get a high percentage of the touches. Like he's going to get a ton of touches, but none of them are going to be targets. He's not really the goal line guy. They let Jayden Daniels do that. And a percentage of running back touches isn't a ton when you have Jayden Daniels. So it's like he varies around RB30, and I feel like that's a perfect price for him. Like you want 8 PPR points per game? Points per game?
There you go. Yeah, he's sans touchdown. He is Mr. 8 PPR points.
Yeah, exactly. You said Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt as Jerner Classic Movies. Have you considered Drishan Kikmaffrey?
No, I haven't considered that, and I won't be considering that, actually.
What about Jackson Kmith Majigba?
That's a little better, but I still won't be considering it.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Mike, would you take Brian Robinson in the seventh round or Austin Eckler in the ninth?
I like Brian Robinson in the seventh.
Okay.
Or I would rather take Eckler in the ninth. Nobody cares to ask me.
We'd already talked to you. I was trying to get Mike involved. All right, man.
Fine.
Give me a break. We'll move on to the receivers. Mr. Scary Terry himself. He's gonna put so many DBs out of a job that they're gonna build a Spirit Halloween.
Damn, get him
to employ all of them. He has a new partner in crime as well, well known to one Jeff Crisco. It is Debo Samuel.
No, he's Tyshon Samuel. He left Debo in San Francisco.
I'm no, not he letting didn't.
Him take it with him.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It's still his name. Terry's still going to be wide receiver one here. It's not going to be like a situation where this is going to even be like a 1A, 1B. Like, Debo's going to be two behind McLaurin, but McLaurin, we do have to remember, he came into the league as a 24-year-old rookie, so he's going to be 30. He doesn't have much longer as a top-end receiver. Like, this year, I think he'll be all right, but we're getting near the end, and if you wanted to be like out a year early instead of a year late with McLaurin, I would understand. Again, I think he'll be all right this year, especially because he does have a very good quarterback throwing him the ball. Same scheme as last year. The weapons around him are either the same or a little better. I like McLaurin as a player. I struggle to see where the top 12 upside is. There, it's just never been there. Even last year with very good quarterback, it still wasn't there. Like, he was better, but it still wasn't there. So let me look here. Let's go with Terry McLaurin or DJ Moore.
Terry McLaurin.
McLaurin.
Okay. Terry McLaurin or Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
McLaurin or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
McLaurin.
Ooh, I got to check my ranks. I think they're within a couple spots of each other. I don't know because I just rejiggered my ranks the other day. Let's see. McLaurin.
Okay.
I got McLaurin at 20 and Marvin Harrison at 26.
McLaurin or DK Metcalf?
Metcalf.
McLaurin.
Let's see. Yeah, that's the last relevant one. All right. We'll move on to Mr. Debo. He probably isn't going to be a guy who's going to command 100 targets anymore, but he's still talented with the ball in his hands. He still can get loose for a explosive play, game-changing play, just about any time he gets the blocking. Really hard to bring down. He will be involved in the running game a little in Washington. I highly doubt it'll be anything close to what it was in San Francisco, but that's not going to go away completely because he is very good at it. I would expect he's going to hover probably around 100 touches for the there are 100 touch attempts for the season. They're going to try to get the ball in his hands like half a dozen times a game and just let him go. For the most part, that'll be passing game. They're going to try to get that intermediate game going again. But he's going to be putting up number two receiver stats. I mean, this is I don't see a huge upside case here. Like, sure, he's going to outscore, you know, some of your, like, less established, like, truly established wide receiver two options. I mean, yeah, you should take him ahead of, like, a Marvin Mims or a Christian Kirk at this point. But, I mean, I wouldn't take him over Darnell Mooney.
I would not either.
No.
He's my wide receiver 49.
He's my wide receiver 48.
Oh, wow. Walker in on Debo Samuel. There is a case for Debo Samuel, which was he did have to go to the hospital during the Chiefs game last year, and he was not the same player after that. But he's also a guy whose play style is predicated on contact, and he's basically going to age like a running back, and he turns 30 this year.
Yep. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but the Debo's best days are behind him.
And what days they were, folks.
They were some days, for sure.
He was sick. I'm not going to lie. It was at his peak, he was sick.
Yeah, he made me go, what the hell? A lot of times.
Yeah. I love players like that, dude. Yeah. And then I have two words written down, and that's it for the rest of this receiver room. Who care?
Is it Fat Debo? Oh.
So let's move on to the tight ends. And the number one tight end, we know who it is. It's Mike's favorite guy.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
Not Ben Sinnott?
That's no. That's your favorite guy, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Ertz is a high-end blob tight end. That is what he has turned into, and he's very consistent and efficient at that. If you want to just completely punt tight end and wait until the last round and draft Zach Ertz and be like, yeah, forget about it. He'll have four catches for 37 yards every week, and if he scores a touchdown, cool. And if he doesn't, he didn't kill me. That's what he's for. That's it. That's the whole thing. Let's do some this or that, but these are going to be some real cutting straight to the heart options, okay? We got Zach Ertz or Mike Gesicki.
Ooh.
Gesicki.
Ertz.
I just wanted to see if you guys would actually go down on ideological lines.
That's right.
I have those two guys 1.1 points apart in my projections.
Oh my god.
Wow. Jeez.
But unfortunately for Mike Valverde, the winner is Mike Gesicki.
That's right, baby.
No, boo. So,
Mike Gesicki.
Mike off the podcast, Jeff returning to the podcast triumphantly. let's see. Zach Ertz or Hunter Henry?
Zach Ertz. Henry.
Okay. Zach Ertz or Tyler Warren?
Ertz.
Warren.
What? No.
Do you want to know where I have Ertz ranked, Doug?
You got him pretty low, I would imagine.
I got him tight end 19.
19.
All right,
sorry.
Well,
sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Zach Ertz or Dalton Kincaid?
Zach Ertz!
Okay. All right. I don't have to kick you back off the podcast now.
Good stuff.
All right. I mean, John Bates is gone. Two tight end sets. Can we see a little sneaky Ben Sinnott?
Ooh, is John Bates gone? I thought he... Where did he go?
Isn't he? I thought John Bates got a...
I thought they re-signed him to a weird contract.
Oh, was it Washington that re-signed him to the...
Yeah.
Extension?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, that's not good at all.
Yeah. Hey, Walker. Walker, I know you love John Bates. Sneaky two tight end sets with John Bates.
I mean, John Bates will be out there, let me tell you, but he won't be catching any passes. He is a glorified tackle.
Yeah, he is. That's what makes him so awesome.
He's really good at that, but he is a glorified tackle. That's it. That's the Commanders. They're going to be pretty similar to last season. And everybody's going to have figured them out a little bit more. So expect a bit of regression team-wise.
All right, perfect. Mike, let's talk about America's team.
The Dallas
Detroit Lions?
No. Walker, no. No. All right, Mike, go for it.
So, unfortunately, it's the Dallas Cowboys. So Brian Schottenheimer hired Clayton Adams as his offensive coordinator, but the head coach will call the plays. He promises more pre-snap motion and shifts, along with play action. Dallas ranked first in pace of play and fourth in plays per game, 39.7, under Schottenheimer. The team ranked third and eighth in pass attempts. The ground attack ranked 24th in attempts, 27th in yards, and last in touchdowns. But let's talk about the quarterback here and Dak Prescott. He went from fourth in scoring in 2023 to 23rd in 2024, making it the low point of his career. His running skills have dissolved. He ran 241 times for 1,200 yards and 21 touchdowns in his first four seasons, but only 179 times for 717 yards and 8 touchdowns over the past 5. He missed 9 games last season with a serious hamstring injury that required surgery and has missed 26 games the past 5 seasons. Also, his ADOT has gone down in 3 consecutive seasons. However, he has CeeDee Lamb and a Cowboys added George Pickens to help him out this year. So that's all right. Dak Prescott.
How do we feel about Dak for this season?
Go ahead.
Oh boy. Mike, you go first.
I go first. Okay. I have him in between 23rd and 4, so like 14.
Okay. I have him at QB 16 behind Drake May and Justin Fields. Walker, where do you have Dak?
Dak is my quarterback, 12.
Ooh.
He's right crazy. Between Drake May and Caleb Williams.
Also, this is where we reveal. Hey, Walker, is Brock Purdy in your top 12?
No.
Walker, off the podcast.
Brock Purdy, quarterback 14, out of the top 12 by 2.1 points.
Walker, muted. Walker cannot talk. Walker, not allowed to talk. Okay, Walker, I'm allowed back on the podcast.
I'm banging on my laptop.
All right, Mike, let's continue.
So the running game is a mixed bag. Javonte Williams is probably going to lead the group, at least at first. He was the wide receiver running back 30 last season and comes over from Denver. He is a middling running back, ranking 29th in explosive run rate, 32nd in yards per tote, and 35th in yards over expected per carry. Williams is a plus receiver, but isn't breaking tackles or creating yards as he used to. He's likely be stuck in a committee and could get passed on the depth chart by speedy Texas rookie Jaden Blue. Williams' versatility makes him a slight favorite to get most of the playing time after logging 859 yards from scrimmage on 543 snaps in 2024. Speaking of Blue, the Dallas Cowboys' 2025th fifth round pick, his 4.38 second 40-yard dash time was second fastest among incoming rookie rushers. However, he is small, so don't look for much volume. He has a dual threat ability with elite speed and can earn him early touches in Dallas's revamped offense. While ball security, 7 fumbles over 2 seasons is a concern, his receiving skills and agility make him a valuable late-round fantasy stash, especially in PPR formats.
He is a steal in drafts, and you should be drafting Jaden Blue everywhere. Thank you.
Especially late.
Early.
Early?
Yeah, round one.
Round one. maybe Miles Sanders in round one.
Perfect.
He's next, and he fell off the map completely in Carolina. Over 2 years, he only ran for 637 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2 seasons. He is now 28 and is in play for rotational spot in Dallas. He struggles as a passing down back, but did score 11 touchdowns in 2022. He's worth a late-round flyer or the chance he emerges as a Cowboys starter. For running backs.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about the Cowboys. I'm sorry. Mike, I should continue listening. I'm sorry.
No, it's good because I don't know about them either. I mean, they went from basically nothing last year to a bunch of just nothing this year. I mean, they got some names like Javonte Williams is a name. Miles Sanders is a name. But these guys are completely either old, too old, or have shown past their prime, and it's not good. I don't see much improvement from last year. Ground attack, where, as I mentioned, there's 24th in attempts, 27th in yards, and last in touchdowns. I could see them finishing around the same area again.
What do you think? Did I not unmute Walker?
Oh no, I'm here. I've never been a Javonte Williams fan. I think there's issues with just anointing a day three running back as the guy immediately when we don't know if he's good or not yet. But the thing is that we know that Javonte Williams isn't good, and we know that Miles Sanders isn't good. So if Jaden Blue is bad, then it's going to be a mess. And if he's good, then he's going to be the guy by midseason. So there's really no reason not to take the shot.
Exactly. It's like, worst case scenario, if he's bad, you cut him.
There you go.
Wide receivers,
as we know, CD Lamb, he's going to remain the centerpiece of the offense. He finished eighth among wide receivers in both total PPR points and points per game. Despite an injury to Dak Prescott, he still posted over 1,100 receiving yards, averaging 6.9 yards per catch for 76.3 yards. Lamb still managed to haul in 100 catches for his third straight year. He did suffer an injury and was shut down in week 17 and 18. The addition of wide receiver George Pickens should help Lamb avoid his many double teams, creating better efficiency, but of course, less targets. With George Pickens, he thrived right before the absence of while catching passes from Russell Wilson, averaging 4.8 catches for 81.2 yards and half a touchdown on 7.7 targets over six game stretch, compared to 4.3 catches for 60.5 yards and no touchdowns in Justin Fields' six starts. Led the NFL most receiving yards on routes of 15 plus yards and had the second most catches on deep go routes. Pickens complained his way out of Pittsburgh, but now finds himself in a better situation and playing for the first long-term contract. Pickens is a high-end wide receiver three with plenty of boom potential.
And then how do we feel about that? Like, how do we feel about Pickens in Dallas this year? Because CeeDee Lamb locked and loaded, top three, top four receiver everywhere. Not much worth talking about there, but I think George Pickens does have a little bit of intrigue.
Yeah, especially with Dak Prescott ability to throw the deep ball. I think it's just going to end up happening to be whether Dak Prescott can stay healthy or not. And then you're always going to take a hit with someone who's primarily a deep receiver like George Pickens is, because obviously it's harder to make connections on passes when they're deep balls. So, but his touchdowns should be pretty good. I would say around eight. And then he should also catch, you know, maybe like 60 passes. So, but his yards per catch is going to be pretty high.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good rundown of how the shape of his season's going to go. Walker, where do you have Pickens ranked?
Well, I haven't redone my receivers, but as of right now, he is wide receiver 39.
Okay, do you feel like that's going to go up or down when you redo him?
Maybe slightly up. I feel like he could sneak into the back end of the top 36, but not much higher than that.
Okay, yeah, I currently have George Pickens ranked at wide receiver 30. Oh, he was 37, but I'm realizing I'm going to move Addison down in this group. So he's going to be 36, just because Addison, I have a feeling, is going to miss a couple games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think George Pickens, I think he's worth a shot. CeeDee Lamb, do we all agree top five wide receiver at worst?
Yeah.
I would say the floor is probably 5 if you know, barring injury, yeah.
Okay, Mike, what were you going to say? Do you have any worries about that?
Yeah, I do a little bit just because of Dak Prescott's injury history. But if everything stays relatively healthy there, then there's really no reason why he shouldn't be a top 5 wide receiver.
Perfect. All right, let's talk tight end, shall we?
Tight ends, let's go. And there's really just one, Jake Ferguson. And Luke Shoemaker is also a possibility. He was a second-round draft pick, but really with Jake Ferguson there, he's not going to be valid by any means. After surging to tight end 10 in PPR points, Ferguson per game in 2023 plummeted down to tight end 22 last year.
Jesus.
Yes, Dak Prescott was injured. Ferguson's role eroded when Prescott got hurt, and he scored fewer than 7 fantasy points in 6 of Dallas's last 7 games. While Prescott is back, the Cowboys should go to Ferguson quite a bit more. So you're betting on Prescott's health here. But they, as mentioned before, they also added George Pickens, so he's going to compete for targets. Fantasy managers should view Ferguson as a fringe streamer.
I agree with that. I think he's a blob guy. I think he's like going to be one of the guys where if you need a spot to like float a player till somebody like goes back on IR and then you can stream tight end, I think he's an easy cut every week. Walker, what do you think?
I mean, I have Ferguson tight end 12, just on mostly on volume, but I think he's going to sneak into that back end again, just because I'm projecting Dak for health and Dak likes his safety blanket with ASAP Ferguson. So I don't feel it's going to be impressive. I don't feel it's going to have a lot of boom weeks at all, but he's another guy that you can take in the Zach Ertz vein, and he probably will even get a few more targets than Ertz, where he's going really late, and he could sneak into the back end of the top 12, but I can understand if you're like, well, why would I take that guy? He doesn't have much upside.
Yeah, if you're planning a flag on like him one way or the other, just relax, man. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he'll be fine. He'll get you 8 PPR points. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be higher in him than most, I would assume, but I'm definitely, he's not going to be my flag plant tight end. I'll tell you that, because who cares?
Walker's flag plant tight end. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't even know who it's. Oh, no, I do know who it's going to be. Never mind.
Yeah, I have Ferguson 16. I know who mine's going to be. I know who yours is going to be.
Yours is probably going to be Trey McBride.
No,
it's going to be Njoku. And
yeah.
And mine is going to be, you're going to make jokes about it, so.
Nope, it's going to be Tucker Kraft. Yes, I am going to make jokes about it. Your favorite team. Right. No, because you're a Tucker Kraft, what, like 5?
7.
7, okay, yeah. I saw that, I was like, hey. I mean, I can't argue with it. He was very efficient last year, just a little rich for my blood. Let's see. By the way, my wide receiver that I'm highest on versus consensus now is Scotty Miller. So Scotty Miller is my my wide receiver 113. So my flag plant, Scotty Miller.
That's too many receivers to be ranking.
I have 157 ranked.
Okay.
You want to know my last ranked receiver?
Let me think. 157. Isaac Tesla.
Let's see. Isaac Tesla is my wide receiver 116.
Well, so not awful, but Mike, can you get closer to 157?
No, probably not.
It would be Ashton Doolin.
Oh,
Doolin.
My wide receiver 157, just ahead of Bub Means, Tyler Scott. Oh, Tyler Scott, who I didn't know.
Hey, Tyler Scott, hey, what's up, baby? Hey.
Simi Fehoko and Jalen Brooks.
I'm on the See Me Fehoko diet.
Folks, I see me food, I eat me Foco.
I eat me food.
Me food. All right, let's talk the New York Football Giants. We're going to start off with quarterback, who I don't remember who has quarterback, so I'll just let one of you start talking.
It's me. So we've got two potential starting quarterback options here. Fuck Jameis Winston.
That's true.
We've got the podcast favorite, the man, the myth,
Mr. Jackson. Oh, I was gonna say, worst cooks in America.
It is Sierra's husband. He's got the goodies, folks. He's eating the ball. And
oh man,
do we know? I know a real online reference there for eating the ball.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the Giants quarterback situation this year, in my opinion, it's a real chicken and egg situation. You know, what leads one thing to another? You feel me? Because how does Mr. Unlimited become Mr. Unlimited, you know?
Oh, man.
Well, I posit it's by having a dart.
Oh, wow.
And so if Jackson, you know, Jackson Dart comes in, and I think he kind of subsumes the whole thing. I think that's what the plan is. I think by midseason it's going to be a Jackson Dart joint. And I think that the Giants will continue to get smoked by the competition, unfortunately, but they will have another high draft pick next year.
Will they take Arch?
Probably, yeah.
That's gonna be amazing.
They should take Lenora Sellers, the guy from South Carolina. He's really good.
No! No! Mike knows why I said no.
I do know why you said
no! He was my first round pick on our Devy draft this year.
Oh,
no.
Okay, you don't want it to go there. I see what you
mean. No, no,
not the Giants. Anywhere not the there. Giants.
All right.
Did you notice how many high and smoke and stuff references I put in that?
I did not, actually.
No, I didn't either.
You're going to go back and listen when you edit it, and there's going to be like five of them in there.
Hell yeah, let's go. I was too busy finding a picture of Eat the Ball for the episode picture.
It is the worst looking roll I've ever seen.
Oh, it looks disgusting. It looks so like annoying. Mike, do you know what we're talking about?
No.
Russell Wilson was like the spokesman for bread that looked like a football, but it honestly looks like
A Nerf ball inside.
Yeah, it looks like a Nerf ball. It looks
like foam.
Disgusting.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Jeff, yeah. Did you find a pic? Can you drop a pic in the chat?
Yeah. Let me drop a pic. Hold on. Let's see.
Audio medium, I know, but like, I need Mike to see this. I really
Mike needs to see the eat the ball. Luckily, everybody will be seeing this. Just everybody, open your podcast app and look at the picture that I'm about to drop in the chat.
That's right.
There we go. Russell Wilson, eat the ball.
Oh,
the
God.
Bread, the so, I mean, you could just look at the podcast app picture, but the bread, it looks like a tiny Nerf. I look, you know what it looks like? It looks like when you go to like Dave and Buster's and the footballs that are like 35 tickets or whatever.
Oh,
and it's
God,
like,
yeah.
It's like team branded, but you're in Detroit and it's like, you can get like the Buccaneers or the Titans. And you're like, what is that? Why? Where are all the Lions footballs? It's like that. It looks like one of those, but it's bread. It's food. Check this out. What if Russell Wilson put his Danger Witch on that bread?
Eat the ball.
On Eat the Ball, yeah. Just a thought. All right. Are we drafting either of these guys? Do we? No. I'm answering for both of you. No.
You can't do that. No, you shouldn't be doing that.
I drafted Jackson Dart as my QB3 speculative upside in Scott Fishbowl, where you can draft near zero, or you can start zero quarterbacks if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
That's as far as I'm willing to go. I think if Jackson Dart becomes, like, if it's Halloween and Russell Wilson loses like 41-0 to the Eagles, I don't know what their schedule is. And they're like, all right, we're going to start Jackson Dart the rest of the way. You can play Jackson Dart in a streaming role the same way you could play Daniel Jones a few years ago. Because he's going to run.
It's a good matchup.
He's going to run.
Matchup, avoid.
He's going to sling it. He still has Malik Nabers. Speaking of which, Mike, let's talk wide receivers. Ooh, that's a transition.
Who's going to eat these things?
Mike's just looking at the ball. It's disgusting, right?
It's really rough, dude. They look so bad.
Yeah, they look awful. They don't even look like food.
No, they don't. Yeah, like you guys said, they look like Nerf.
Straight up look like Nerf balls. It's unbelievable. And you'll notice that there is a hunk missing from all of these, but there's never any indication that Russell Wilson bit into one.
Yeah, also, breaking news. This is not a bit. You know the whole controversy with Lloyd Howell, the NFLPA executive director, and the stuff that they were like keeping from the players?
Yep. Okay.
He just resigned.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like actual breaking news. Like, he just resigned.
Okay.
That's crazy. What? Oh, okay. Okay, and then the next news on the thing was Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko on report that Ed Shamar Stewart may return to college. I was like, what? But he's like, yeah, he's not doing that. I was like, okay. I was like, too much news right now. We got Coldplay. Yeah, we got Coldplay. We got the president's cankles. We've got love letters between the president and the most notorious pedophile of the 20th century. I mean, we got Lloyd Howell resigning. We got Rashee Rice getting 30 days in jail.
You guys know the James Joyce letters, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't Jeff, know if I'm Mike sure does.
Mike probably does not know what that is.
No, I don't.
Okay, it's an old Irish author who got real horny in letters to his like wife back home, and I'm just imagining Donald Trump writing that letter to Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, Mike, you need... Okay, this is really off the rails. This is how much we want to talk about the Giants. James Joyce letters. I'm going to read some of this out loud, Walker. You did this.
The number one thing I remember from it is that he said that her ass was full of farts that day.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Where is it? Damn, these letters. Oh, here. I felt your fat, sweaty buttocks under my belly, and I saw your flushed face and mad eyes. Hold on. Let's see.
I'm so sorry to James Joyce and his wife, but God, I'm damn. Not.
Here we go. Oh, I found the quote. Okay. Fat, dirty farts came spluttering out of your backside. You had an arse full of farts that night, darling.
Damn.
Just darling at the end of that. Like, he's loving it, man. This guy loves farts.
I could pick hers out of a room full of farting women. It is a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart, which I imagine fat wives have. It is sudden and dry and dirty, like what a bold girl would let off in fun in a school dormitory at night.
A little concerned.
This man loved farts.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Speaking of farts, we already talked about the quarterbacks. Folks, let's talk about Malik Nabers, Mike.
Jackson Fart.
Jackson Fart. Fart. Jackson Fart.
So Jackson Fart's going to throw to Malik Nabers, who finishes the wide receiver 6. He had 109 catches for 1,204 yards and 7 touchdowns in 15 games while leading the league in targets per game. He also averaged 18.2 PPR points per game, the third most by a rookie in NFL history.
Oh, I didn't know he was that high, like, historic. That's good.
Yeah,
that's,
I didn't either.
Crazy.
No,
crazy.
I saw that. I was like, holy shit. Nabers displayed a blend of route running, yak, and contested catch ability. He should be in line to push for another 150 targets again this season. With Russell Wilson's deep ball efficiency, he's a first-round pick for fantasy teams this season. And then Wandale Robinson finishes the wide receiver 52, but you can't ignore someone fresh off catching 93 of 140 targets. Unfortunately, he turned that into just 89 points by averaging only 7.5 yards per reception and 41.1 yards per game. His lack of efficiency is among the worst in the league for players with that type of volume. However, with Russell Wilson's short pass tendencies, his target quality might improve. He's virtually useless in non-PPR as he has only scored 3 touchdowns. And then Darius Slayton finished with just 39 catches for 573 yards and 2 touchdowns and a wide receiver 73 status. He's only averaging just 74 targets over the last 3 seasons and will have to battle both Neighbors and Robinson for targets. However, the Giants liked him enough to sign him to a 3-year, $36 million contract and is a deep play option for Wilson. That's it.
All right, I'm sorry, I just realized, so this is going to be a non-Patreon episode, which means it's going to be posted on the YouTube, which means my mom's going to watch it, so I'm really sorry, Mom. Oh.
Our apologies. All right. And my apologies specifically to Jeff's mother.
Sorry, that's Mom.
My bad. Shouldn't have brought that up.
Oops. No, I was the one who was like, I'm going to read this.
That's true. I brought it up, but Jeff, you were the one who was like, well, now you've done it.
Now you've done it. All right.
Yeah, I have Wandale Robinson, just because I want to read it out. I have Wandale Robinson projected for 78 catches, 640 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
I've abandoned my projections. Yeah.
That's wide receiver 51 in PPR.
I have him wide receiver 49.
Boom. We love it.
Boom. Boom. We love it, folks. He's probably going to get moved down, though.
Wandale Robinson, elite wide receiver 5.
Man, if you're in those 5 wide receiver leagues, let's go, baby. You
need to have a Wandale in your lineup.
If you're in NFC East only leagues, now you're cooking.
Obi-Wan Dale Robinson.
You can't say that. You haven't seen Star Wars.
I just said it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not allowed. All right, let's talk about the Giants running back, shall we? One of my groomsmen, my sister-in-law, Cam Scadaboo, all products of Rio Linda, California. Some might call it the cow part of the cow town that is Sacramento, but I call it what it is concerning Cam Scadaboo, quirked up white boy town. The Giants selected Cam Scadaboo with the 105th pick at the top of the 4th round in the 2025 NFL draft. He is the answer to the question, what if you gave Ben Jarvis Green Ellis enough bath salts to lift a car? You get Ben Cam Scadaboo. Ben Jarvis
Green Ellis reference number 2.
Yeah, when you said Ben Jarvis Green Ellis earlier, I was like, Brian Robinson, a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis style individual. Also Cam Scadaboo, a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis style individual on drugs. He's a frenetic runner who invited every bit of contact he would get in college. Granted, his offensive line sucked, so he had a lot of defenders getting a wide open path to him to begin with, getting him a ton of contact without him seeking it out. That being said, he made his own problems at times. His running style is pure vibes, which led to him doing the dang Dougie in the backfield while holes open and closed in front of him at ASU. He plays every touch like it's his last on the football field, and his style of play makes it so that any given play could be his last play on a football field. There's nothing refined about him other than his quick feet, but man, this guy loves to take hits, and he is fast. Some want to point out that Scadaboo is a 4th round pick, which means that he is not a contender to Tyrone Tracy's throne. However, do you both remember when Tyrone Tracy was drafted?
Yeah.
In the 5th round. Which means that he isn't as set at the top of this running back room as you would imagine. But is the Tyrone Tracy role one that is as solid as some want to speculate? So I looked into the Tyrone Tracy role. It grew out of simply being better than Devin Singletary on the back half of his career and taking advantage of Devin Singletary's injury. Singletary missed weeks 5 and 6 last season, and Tracy had 19 and 23 carries in those two games combined, or in each of those two games, sorry. Singletary returned in week 7, and Tracy had 9 touches to Singletary's 6. Tracy then had 22, 17, and 19 touches before things started to get really weird. So these were Tyrone Tracy's touches week by week. 19, 13, 11, 21, 11, 11, 22, 16. So after a three game stretch of dominance, Tracy had three games of 11 touches, three games of 19 plus touches, and two games in the middle. This indicates to me at least that Tyrone Tracy didn't have a role, but rather the RB1 role was filled by Tyrone Tracy at that point. So we need to figure out if it's going to be Tyrone Tracy or Cam Scadaboo who's going to emerge as the RB1 this year. What do you both think?
Split.
Split?
Yeah.
Walker?
I think it's going to take a long time. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a split until right before the fantasy playoffs when Scadaboo is going to take over the job. Then he's going to have a really good fantasy playoffs and he's going to be super overrated for next year.
Walker calling Cam Scadaboo third round pick in 2026.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing the Cam Scadaboom.
Ooh, Scadaboom. They're calling it the Rashad White treatment, folks.
That's right. That is white. That is absolutely white.
the Rashad even more white. All right. But here's the thing. The RB2 role last year was not all that fruitful, meaning that being the 1B during the season, whether it be Tracy or Scadaboo, is not going to be a player that you're going to want to start on a weekly basis. Last year, the RB2 in this offense averaged 5.6 touches per game. So it's all about figuring out who's going to assert their dominance. Personally, I believe that Tracy will get the first crack at the job and will be given every opportunity to succeed or fail. Unfortunately, I think he's going to fail. He was just okay last year, as he had plenty of opportunity, but he ranked outside the top 20 in yards per touch, yards created per touch, explosive rating, and juke rate. He was just there to soak up touches. I believe pretty much what Walker said. Cam Scadaboo is going to take over in the second half, and he is going to be a guy that you're going to be happy that you stashed. Tyrone Tracy is RB32, pick 92 off the board. Cam Scadaboo is RB33, pick 99 off the board. Tracy or Scadaboo?
Tracy.
Scat.
All right, perfect. So I'm just going to say a player's name, and you're going to tell me your preferred Giants running back or this player, because I'm not saying this as many times. Jaylen Warren.
Warren.
Yeah.
Okay. Travis Etienne.
Etienne.
Scadaboo.
Walker, would you rather have Etienne or Tracy?
Etienne.
Your preferred Giants running back or Brian Robinson?
Robinson.
Okay. Would you rather have your less preferred? I'm sorry. Never mind. Forget I said. Rewind. Your preferred Giants running back or Jordan Addison?
Preferred.
Addison.
All right. Would you rather have your less preferred running back or Jordan Addison, Mike? Mm-hmm. So would you rather have Scadaboo or Addison?
Right. It's even tougher because pretty cool. I'm gonna go with Addison still.
Okay, your preferred Giants running back or David Njoku?
Njoku.
All right. Your preferred Giants running back or Kyler Murray?
Kyler.
Yeah, I think I go Kyler there.
All right, that's it. We're not talking the tight ends.
Boom.
I don't care. All right, that's it. We're done. We're getting out of here. We will be back next week to talk the NFC. It would be South, right? South.
Yep.
All right, NFC South. Oh, boy. God's favorite division, folks. We got the Falcons. We got the Saints. Oh, I know who we're going to punt. I have a proposition to punt. Saints quarterback. Wide receiver and tight end. Perfect. All right.
Get him out of here. We're punting Tyler Shuck. His only mention is going to be about how he's a lib.
Oh, man. National Woke Ball League MVP, Tyler Shuck. So we'll be back next week to talk all that nonsense. Can we punt the whole division? Yeah. Full disclosure, we're going to end the podcast and then we're going to figure out what teams we're going to do next week. Usually we struggle to figure out who to punt because we don't know who to cut off. We're going to struggle to figure out who to punt because we're going to want to punt entire teams. This will be fun. All right. So for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.